Welcome back to The Grapevine, Michael Warren Thomas. And it is only 13 days till spring, according to Gene Pierce at Glenora Wine Cellars with his weekly Sunday morning Glenora Gazette. And also updates on what's happening at the winery and around the region. It's free to sign up for, and this comes out each Sunday morning. And it mentions the Bev New York conference that was this past week. And congratulations to New York Wine and Great Foundation, Cornell University, all the people behind this. Saw really far more postings about it from winemakers than I have before. And I think that was partly because Jancis Robinson was the featured or the keynote speaker for Bev New York. And the winemakers were excited about that. They loved her presentation. And one of the things Gene mentions is that, you know, having it a virtual conference, which it was this year, really allows people from around the world to participate as presenters. And it can be very difficult to get some of the three or four top wine media people like Jancis Robinson to come speak in person. So, and the other thing, it'll be interesting to see what the conference organizers say, but it would seem like with a region as exciting as the Finger Lakes right now, and there are a lot of cool things happening, we're garnering more and more worldwide attention, that people, particularly assistant winemakers, people who are thinking about starting their own wineries and looking around the world, I would think that this conference might hold some interest for them if they can participate virtually. And maybe, I mean, some of them would fly to Rochester for this conference, but realistically, far more might participate online. So it doesn't appear that any of the presentations are available after the fact, although for people who registered for the event, there are recordings available. And I'm hoping that Bev New York makes recordings available for a price. I mean, they certainly don't need to give them away, but make them available for people who weren't able to attend the conference, or maybe heard about it later, or again, don't live in the area, but want to see what's happening here and kind of get the sense of the region, which you do to some degree with this kind of conference. So I'll let you know if they do make recordings available for purchase, but they did a great job putting this together and doing a virtual conference. And with the large size of the region, and these long lakes, which make for many hours of driving for meetings and conferences and things, having the virtual option is something I hope they'll offer in the future. I mean, people will be excited to have an in-person conference in 2022. But again, there'll be people that can't make it for whatever reason. You know, maybe their kids are sick at home and they can't leave that day. And, you know, it's one of the key days they wanted to be a part of this conference. They could participate from home. So I'm hoping that one of the outgrowths of the pandemic is that conferences like this become more open to virtual options. Certainly, you know, now they've used the technology. I doubt it was that expensive in the scope of things. So having that available plus in person would make a lot of sense. So we'll see in 2022. BevNY.org, you can get more details. It stands for Business Enology and Viticulture. 3 days this past week that were done virtually. Also, the Seneca Lake Wine Trail has an event this next week. And they're doing this differently than they have in the past. It's their pasta and wine, one of the big Wine Trail events of the year. Kind of the first of the big ones for Seneca Lake Wine Trail. And they've set this up very differently this year. And there are still some tickets available. It's going to be one day only, Friday, rather than Saturday or Sunday. That's because the tasting rooms aren't as busy on Fridays as they are on Saturdays and Sundays. And the price is for four people. So the price hasn't gone up, but at first glance, it might appear that it has because it's $160, but that is for four people. They're selling tables of four. So you get a couple of friends together and go and do this. Wear masks when you're not seated. And this is a seated event with a very specific time schedule. Many of the different groups that they've set up are sold out, but if you scroll down, you will see there are still availabilities. And so you sign up for a specific group, and when you click on more details, it doesn't appear right away, but it's up at the top of your screen. And so, for example, this group 6G, and there's still a table left for this, it's 3 p.m. Well, it starts at 10 a.m. The event is from 10 to 5. So 10 a.m. at Miles Wine Cellars, 11 a.m. at Fox Run, 12 noon at Torrey Ridge, 1 p.m. at Rock Stream, 2 p.m. at Castle Grish, and 3 p.m. at Glenora Wine Cellars. So you could stay and have dinner at Glenora at their Verasians restaurant. So again, most of these big Wine Trail events in the past, there would be many hundreds of people who were trying to get to all the wineries if possible, because there was food and wine at each of them. And they would be trying to get to 30 wineries in a day or 2 days, which is very hard to do in one day, and really, at least for me, not very much fun to try to consider that possibility. Over 2 days, you know, maybe you do quite a few of them, but again, with COVID precautions, they've restyled this event, and I wouldn't be surprised if this kind of format continues in the future, even after the pandemic is over, at least for some of the Wine Trail events. I think it's a good idea. The wineries know exactly when people are coming. It's a reasonable schedule. Frankly, doing six wineries in a day is quite a few. I would almost never go to six wineries in a day, because I tend to spend a lot of time at a few wineries. But this is, you know, these are timed events. You're not tasting through their whole portfolio of wines at each of these wineries. And again, each hour, a different winery. And these are wineries that are relatively close to each other. So it's not a, you know, they might be 5-10 minutes apart at most. So again, you sign up for a very specific schedule. You can see which schedules are still available. Many of them are sold out, but not all of them. And maybe, you know, there's a couple wineries on the schedule you've never been to. Maybe some that you never heard of. So, you know, that's, I think, one of the advantages of Wine Trail events is that it encourages people to go to wineries because they're members of the trail, not because they've heard of them. And, you know, it opens your eyes. Maybe you'll find your new favorite winery. Maybe you'll find a winery that you're not that happy with. You wouldn't go back. But, you know, that's like being in a tasting room. You're not going to like every single wine that's offered. And this is an opportunity to try them out. Check out some different properties. Castle Grish up on the hill above Watkins Glen. And got some just a pretty drive up there. And Fox Run is well-known, fabulous winery. Miles Wine Cellars, is pretty well known. They've been around a long time. They've been grape growers even longer, but they're not right on the main route. So you may see the sign for Miles Wine Cellars, but if you haven't driven down there, they're one of the few Seneca Lake wineries that is on the lake, and so accessible by boat, which, given how many wineries on Seneca Lake, it's kind of surprising that so few are accessible by boat. Basically, Miles and Bellhurst. That's it, I think. A lot of them are not far from the lake, but there's no docking, there's no transportation. I think probably some of the wineries would try to make some accommodations and figure out a way to pick you up if you wanted to do that, and it wasn't a weekend probably. But Cayuga Lake actually has three times as many wineries that are on the lake with lake access. So Miles Wine Cellars is in a beautiful old mansion, huge columns, this massive willow tree that's out front, and then in spring, when the wisteria is blooming, they have a huge wisteria out by the lake that's really gorgeous. So, again, a winery sometimes people miss because it's not right there on the main route. You have to drive down to the lake, but worth going down to see it, and they have some excellent wines. Another example of a winery that some people might miss, or, you know, it just you're used to being able to see the actual winery while you're driving by. In this case, you got to drive down to the lake. So, again, there are still some tables available. Four people, $160, so $40 a person, which is basically what the regular price was, maybe even a little bit less than it was from the regular Wine Trail event, the silo event they did in the past. And I think one of the reasons that the wineries are going to want to do this in the future is that it really helps food-wise. Food preparation, and it allows them to do foods that they wouldn't have done before, because, you know, in the past these Wine Trail events were set up, you know, they'd have 900 people, 1500 people on a weekend. You have to do far different food choices. They still did some really good ones, but just different ones compared to having these timed appointments with a set number of people. This is like a dream come true for anyone involved in food preparation for these Wine Trail events. I think they will still have some really big, you know, like Deck the Halls, I would imagine, will probably remain a really big event that people still try to get to all the wineries. And they probably can do that by the time November, December comes. But, you know, there's a bunch of these other events. There's a June barbecue event on Seneca Lake. There's spring wine and cheese in April. There's several other large events, which I think once the wineries go through, this coming Friday, and see how much different it is to have a much smaller, absolutely tiny group of people compared to, the normal big Wine Trail event schedule. This has got to be just so much easier for the wineries, and especially some of the smaller wineries. I mean, some of these wineries don't have huge tasting rooms. These are, you know, not all the same size, and the biggest Wine Trail events are a real stretch for them. So, again, I'm glad Seneca Lake Wine Trail is doing this. You can go to senecalakewine.com, and I think it'll be fascinating to see how this plays out in 2022. So, four people, you get a couple friends together, family members, and there'll be more than one table at the winery at that time, but it depends on the size of the winery. but they will be socially distanced, and the wineries will be taking every precaution. So, man, I applaud Seneca Lake for doing this, keeping the idea of the event alive, but changing the format of it. So SenecaLakeWine.com, get some more details, and you can link to the wineries there, videos, learn about the Wine Trail members, over 30 members on the Seneca Lake Wine Trail. And if you go down there for that or at another time, if you're going down the west side of Seneca Lake, drive by that big power plant in Dresden. You can't miss it. It is massive. And consider whether that should be expanded, quadrupled in size for 30,000 computers to mine Bitcoin, which is no benefit to the region. And a whole lot of risks and significant pollution from that operation expanding this way. So we're trying to convince Governor Cuomo to stop this expansion. We're trying to convince the DEC to finish studies on the pollution that have not been finished, that should have been finished years ago. It kind of made sense, maybe, I don't know, 5, 8, 10 years ago, when this was only a power plant that was used, it was only used for peak power, and so it wasn't used 24/7. And you know, the DEC seemed to kind of let things slide and not hold them to the bargains that they had set out for improving their technology to protect the environment, and now they want to go like full bore, maybe even add more power units to this gas-powered power plant, and the DC is still doing that. They're not making sure that this company is following existing guidelines and regulations, much less that they'll follow them when they're four times bigger. Just keep that in mind if you're driving around Seneca Lake in particular. And this is a fantastic time to visit wineries. Not all of them are open. Some of them are closed, but many of them are open, some by appointment only. So maybe check with a couple wineries in particular you'd like to visit. And Monday through Friday, certainly better than weekends if you want to avoid crowds. But even weekends are not that busy this time of the year. January, February, March, even April, not that busy. And then into May and graduations and things, the tasting rooms get busier. And then, tourists, vacationers, for the summer and the fall. But January, February, March, and into April, great time to visit and have a really relaxing visit, picking up some wine, tasting a few. Some wineries are open for sales only, and so it varies quite a bit as far as hours and what's available. But if you want any suggestions where to go, email me, michael@saverlife.com, and you can also order wine. You can have it shipped to you. You can do curbside pickup. And I think one of the advantages of curbside pickup is you get to get out and drive around a little bit, see the lake, enjoy the view, the architecture, see what's happening in Geneva. Even if you want to be very careful and socially distant and not go in places, I still like getting out and exploring. And today is a beautiful day. And again, I think many, if not most, wineries offer curbside. They also ship within New York State, virtually all of them, and many of them ship to quite a few other states. And some are offering some flat rate shipping. I think Fox Run had $10 per case of flat rate shipping, which That's a great bargain for shipping 12 bottles of wine. And as I've said many times before, the beauty is the diversity of wines that are available in the Finger Lakes. That case of wine or six bottles of wine can all be very different. Most wineries offer a wide scope of offerings. It's really I think one of the strengths of our region is the diversity of wines that are available. So it includes fruit wines and mead, and the Torrey Ridge is actually sort of two wineries in one. They have Earl's Meadery, which is on the other side of the building, just south of Fox Run. Torrey Ridge, again, you can taste their grape wines, but you also might want to try the meads at Earl's Meadery. So, again, if you want more details on the Seneca Lake Wine Trail events, it's senecalakewine.com. If you know of some things going on you don't hear me mention, send me a note. Send me some photos. I'd love to hear what you're tasting and which local wines you've tried. If you haven't been out to the west side of Rochester, I just drove out about a week ago out to Albion. That's about halfway to Arrowhead Spring Vineyards, which is in Lockport, just north of Lockport. But if you go out to Albion, you should stop in their old cemetery, which is on the left side of the road as you are going west. And there's a tower up on the top, and Chris Clemens from Exploring Upstate has posted about this on his blog and also told me about it. So we went up there, and it's got a very narrow spiral staircase through this stone tower, and kind of dark at various points. So you turn the flashlight on your phone or bring a flashlight, but it is a fantastic view up on top. I'm going to find a few excuses to go out that way. One of them was Lorenzo's in... which is in Medina, Lorenzo's in Albion, for tacos. They're only open Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays. Keep that in mind. But might be a fun road trip. Go walk up this tower. And it's a very old cemetery, kind of similar in, I guess, in age to Mount Hope Cemetery. Beautiful old cemetery, very hilly, and it's got to be the highest point for miles around. And it's really, once you're up on top of this tower, it's a pretty extraordinary view. Get some tacos at Lorenzo's, drive out to Arrowhead Spring Vineyards, pick up some wine, really delicious reds there, as well as some whites, maybe take... Route 31 one way and Route 104 the other way, and you'll see some great cobblestones, stone houses, farms. It's really a fascinating drive. And a beautiful sunny day, and if you feel cooped up and, just fed up with this pandemic, just for me, getting out and driving somewhere like that with, some sort of goal in mind, maybe like the tacos at Lorenzo's or the tower in Albion or a specific winery, really just is invigorating for me. So let me know where you go, what you discover, and we'll be back next Saturday with Gardening Restaurants Discover the Finger Lakes. Michael Warren Thomas here, SavorLife.com. Have a great day.